Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there is nothing happening today that hasn't already happened. And we read in Matthew 27, and as we read that, we hear voices around the cross. The voices we read of in Matthew 27 are still being heard today. So let's take the next few minutes and look at voices heard around the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 39 and 40, it says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Well, if you haven't seen it yet, let me remind you that this is speaking of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This is as he was on that cross dying for the sins of the world. And we hear these voices around the cross. This is the voice of unholy taunt. These people were challenging Christ because of his words we find in John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." And we read again in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 42 how these people would go by the cross and they would taunt our Lord. Matthew 27, 42, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Well, there are Jewish people and others even today who are still looking for signs from God. But I remind you of the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." These people around the cross completely missed what Jesus was saying. He was saying, you kill this body, and this body will raise from the grave after 3 days and 3 nights. It will raise again. It will be here again. Well, these people, just as we read of in the book of Matthew, around the cross, they taunted him, and they looked for a sign. And might I say today that this is still an evil and adulterous generation who seeks after a sign, who is not seeking after the Savior. We read on in Matthew 27, verses 41 through 43 now, we see more voices. "Likewise, also the chief priest, mocking him, with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Well, this is the voice of unconscious gospel. In Psalm chapter 22, and we read there that it is a prophecy of what these people were saying. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. "And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Well, these chief priests, scribes, and elders were actually reminding people of what Jesus said. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, the Bible says, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Well, these people were actually giving the gospel unknowingly. They were telling people what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 36. He said, "I am the Son of God." Well, these people were going about preaching the gospel and didn't even realize it. And then we read in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." Well, notice here, if you would, the voice of unbelieving repetition. Well, at this time, both thieves join in with the priest, scribes, and elders to mock and ridicule our Lord. And might I add here that some say that this is not good, because this is not a good translation, because we know that one thief, and we'll read about this later on, how that he did not ridicule our Lord. Well, I tell you that the Bible is plain. It says here that both thieves joined in at this time, and they ridiculed and mocked our Lord. Now, I believe the devil had so ingrained hatred for Christ within the heart of the unregenerate at the cross that they actually made accusations that could be attributed to the devil. Notice the language of Psalm 22 and verse 13. It says there, "They gasped upon me," or gaped upon me, speaking of Jesus, of course, "with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." And then in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Did you notice the similarity here? As a roaring lion, found in 1 Peter 5:8. And then in Psalm 22:13, it talks about the people going about with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I believe these people were simply listening to the devil when they had the voice of unbelieving repetition. They spoke one after another the same thing, and I believe it's the same thing that the devil would put in their minds and in their hearts and in their mouths. Matthew 27, verses 47, Matthew 27, 47 through 49, the Bible says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Well, I see here the voices of unholy blindness. These people were looking for Elijah. Well, did you ever hear the saying, "You can't see the forest for the trees"? Well, this is what took place at the cross. People saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. Most, if not all, at the cross knew firsthand or by word of mouth that Jesus had raised the dead, healed the sick, helped the poor, preached salvation, and so forth. But yet, looking right at Jesus, they missed seeing the truth and looked for someone else. Well, Ezekiel was told about the people of like vision in his day. It says in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, "Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house." And this is what we see at the cross. And this is what we hear. Well, doesn't the same thing happen today? Some people look to Muhammad, to Buddha. Some people look to a cult. Some people look to a church. Some people look to a preacher. Some look to water, or even to themselves as the only way to heaven. Well, I tell you, there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14, 6. Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's not any other way. Well, we see the voices of unholy blindness, and then we move on, and we see here the voices of hell. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I'd like for us to go there and look at these two verses. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says there, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Now, bear with me if you would. Right now, you don't see these voices around the cross. But bear with me. Because this is the wilderness voices that we're looking at in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we've looked at some voices heard around the cross at this point, the cross of Calvary. Please allow me to go a little further. You may remember that just after Christ was baptized by John, we read of that in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, we read how that he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and was tempted there for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read of the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Oh, how our Savior was tempted of the devil. We read of how the devil tempted our Lord with food. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Well, our Lord had not eaten. He had eaten nothing for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil tempted him with food. And then we see that he was tempted by the devil to worship him, and in return, all the kingdoms of the world would be his. We are told in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And then we read further in Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, "And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Please allow me, if you would, the freedom of looking back to those awful hours, yea, days, our Lord was tempted of the devil. If we could have been there, I believe that not only would we hear the taunting voices of Satan, I believe we would also hear the jeering and taunts of all the demons of hell, taunting, blaspheming, ridiculing, heaping all manner of indignities upon our Lord, not only by the voice of the devil, but also by the voices of those demons destined for the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Oh, how our Savior must have suffered during those 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness. But the worst was yet to come. We look next to the voices from the wilderness to the cross of Calvary. I believe some of those same voices heard by Christ in the wilderness could now be heard around the cross. You might be asking, you mean there were demons at the cross? I believe so. You mean the devil was at the cross? I believe so. I believe the jeers and taunts would probably be even worse than they were in the wilderness. Can you imagine how the devil and demons must have been celebrating at the cross? One demon might have said, "I knew he wasn't really God. Look at you now, Jesus. You thought you were so great. Your own mother couldn't even recognize your pitiful, naked, bloody body hanging there for all to see." Another demon might have said, "Look at you now, Jesus. Our Lord," he's speaking of the devil, "our Lord is now proven to be greater than you. You look pitiful hanging there." Oh, what anguish our Lord endured. The anguish was not only the physical pain and suffering, but also included the verbal assaults he had to endure all throughout his life, and especially here, the voices around the cross. Yes, the devil and his demons most assuredly voiced their approval of Christ's suffering and dying. But in just a few hours after celebrating, there would end as the grave. Their voices would end, and their celebrating would end as the grave could not hold our Lord. Death and hell could not hold the Lord of heaven. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Because of Christ, those of us who know Him as Savior can say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Christ conquered death. Our Savior would rise from the grave after 3 days and three nights. I am reminded of the verses found in Mark chapter 16. First with verse 2. It says, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." And then Mark 16 verses 5 and 6. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. There's one more voice that we need to look at, and then possibly another one. We see the voice of compelled confession. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, it says, And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. This reminds me of the woman of Samaria, who after she received Christ as the Messiah, said to others, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And this also reminds me of when Christ asked the disciples, He saith unto them, But what say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Well, I can hear one other voice now close to the Lord. It is the voice of earnest appeal. We read of this in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 42. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. One of the thieves who was crucified with Christ finally recognized the Savior. This same thief who had joined in with the other thief earlier in maligning the Lord now accepted the fact as to who the Lord really was, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Savior, the Son of God. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and the Lord of Glory. One thief made a choice not to accept Jesus as Savior. One thief made a choice to receive Christ as Savior. You see, salvation is a choice. In 1829, George Wilson in Pennsylvania was sentenced to be hanged by the U.S. court for robbing the U.S. mail and for murder. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but the pardon was refused by Wilson. Wilson insisted that it was not a pardon unless he accepted it. This was a point of law never before raised, and President Jackson called on the Supreme Court to decide the issue. The Chief Justice said, A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. Well, it's hard to imagine that one under the sentence of death would turn down an opportunity to escape death by refusing a pardon. But if the pardon is refused, then it is no longer a pardon. George Wilson refused the pardon. His sentence was to be hanged, and he was hanged. See, provisionally, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1:16. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone, no matter what he or she may be or what he or she has done. In order to escape from the jaws of hell, a person must accept the pardon which God offers. The pardon from God is only to those who accept it. To accept the pardon of God, one must receive Jesus Christ by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted Him, may I invite you to receive Him now. Receive Him to escape the pits of hell, but most of all, receive Him that you can serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the only Lord. He is the only King. And let me ask you this. As we think of the voices heard around the cross, I wonder which voice is yours.